This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, leading Democrats break with Pelosi and say it's time to send the impeachment articles to the United States Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I think it was perfectly advisable for the speaker to try to leverage that, get a better deal. At this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And yes, I think it is time to send the impeachment to the Senate and let Mitch McConnell be responsible for the fairness of the trial. He ultimately is.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Pelosi impeachment dam has broken. You've had five Democrats come out today and say, send over the articles. You said it was urgent. If you believe it to be urgent, send it to the Senate for disposition. She's losing Democrats in the Senate. The impeachment dam of Nancy Pelosi is about to crack.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Welcome into Jay Sekulow Live, everybody. I'm Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. And let me tell you right off the bat what is up with Jay and Jordan, who are not on air with us today. And most of you have probably figured this out already. Jordan talked about it briefly on yesterday's broadcast. But they are here in town as we speak. They're in Washington, D.C. And folks, they are preparing for the looming impeachment trial in the United States Senate. And all is very well on that front. They're doing great. They're working hard. The only downside of all of it, quite frankly, is that they can't be on air with us today. So you are stuck with me today. Now, fortunately, you're also going to get Colonel Retired Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison, both of whom you know well, and we will bring into the broadcast very shortly. But I wanted to let you know right off the top what is up with Jay and Jordan. They are right where you would want them, I would imagine. I'd encourage you to say a little prayer for them. They are working hard. But in the meantime, folks, there is a lot to get to today. Harry and Wes and I are going to get you updated, keep you informed on what is happening. A lot of fast-moving issues. We've talked about both of the issues we're going to focus on today over the course of this week, but both of them are moving quickly, a lot of moving pieces. Number one, where does impeachment stand? And I'm going to give you just a little bit of a tease. You heard this in the open, but it is no longer just Republicans who are tiring of Speaker Pelosi's game here. Now there are leading Democrats, not backbencher Democrats, leading Democrats who are calling for the delay to end, calling for Speaker Pelosi to send those articles of impeachment to the United States Senate. In fact, one of the people you heard in the open there was the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Adam Smith. So I think that game is just about up. We will get into all of those details. And number two, Iran. Folks, in the wake of the U.S. strike that killed Qasem Soleimani, the United States House is poised today to pass a resolution sometime this afternoon that it's aimed at limiting some of President Trump's authority to engage Iran. So we're going to get into that with Wes and Harry as well. But I'm going to start with impeachment, and we're going to get into this after the break. Harry and Wes and I are going to set it up for you. But folks, I actually want to hear from you today on this because there's a couple of different options here, and I want to know what you want to happen in this case. I assume probably most of you are tired of the political games. Probably most of you are ready to get back to the business of the American people. But what path forward do you prefer? Do you want the Senate to force the issue, to hold the trial, and to bring it to a close? Or do you like something more along the lines of what Leader McConnell has suggested, that he is content to continue doing the business of the American people until Nancy Pelosi decides to send the articles over? Which one of those do you prefer? Because those are kind of the two pole positions in Washington, D.C. right now, if you will. And, you know, Jordan and I have talked about this on the broadcast before. He has maybe a little more inclined for the Senate to move forward with its constitutional authority to force the trial, to bring resolution. And I can certainly see merit in that. I might be a little more inclined to what Leader McConnell has suggested. Maybe he should keep confirming judges at a record pace to reform the federal judiciary and let the political price for impeachment continue to lag in the House of Representatives. I like that idea too. So I want to know what you think. Which path forward do you prefer? Or maybe you've got another idea altogether. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to calls early in the broadcast today. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Which path forward do you prefer? I can tell you this. We'll go through some of the names when we get back. Democrats in Washington, D.C., they're nervous about the track they are on. They are starting to call for Speaker Pelosi to send those articles to the United States Senate to begin the trial. We'll be back after this. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. If you are watching on Facebook or Periscope, you heard during the break Lindsey Graham say that there are five Democrats in Washington, D.C. who are now calling on Speaker Pelosi to send articles of impeachment over to the United States Senate. Quite frankly, that number has grown since Senator Graham made those comments. I've been keeping a running tally a little bit, and quite frankly, I can't keep up with the number who are now saying it in the United States House. But this is at least just a start of the list who have now broken with Speaker Pelosi. In the Senate, John Tester, Chris Coons, Doug Jones, Chris Murphy, Richard Blumenthal, Joe Manchin, Angus King, and Dianne Feinstein have all said some iteration of they think it is time for the trial to start in the United States Senate. Some of them go further than others. So I think back to just a day or two ago, we were talking about how Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins were going to stand with Leader McConnell in moving forward to begin a procedure without an agreement on witnesses, and how Marco Rubio and Josh Hawley had other ideas. Folks, now we're talking about Democrats in the United States Senate. We're talking in the House about members of leadership. Chairman Adam Smith of the House Armed Services Committee thinks that Speaker Pelosi needs to stop playing political games. I want to hear from you. What do you think should happen now? 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to those calls early, but first, I want to bring in the rest of the panel. First, let's go to Professor Harry Hutchison. Harry, we've been talking about this for what seems like months now. Speaker Pelosi really is trying to have this both ways. You have talked at length about how there's separate clauses in the United States Senate or in the United States Constitution, one that governs the House proceedings on impeachment, one that governs the Senate impeachment. There is a process for both to play. But Harry, Speaker Pelosi has tried to have it both ways. She wants the impeachment articles to be in both the House and the Senate at the same time. That just simply is not allowed under the Constitution.
Your analysis is precisely correct. Pelosi keeps saying that she will keep the articles of impeachment until she sees what the arena looks like. This is an eminently silly idea. This is a form of extortion or quid pro quo, if you will. The arena has been set by the United States Constitution. The Senate has the exclusive power to try the impeachment case. Speaker Pelosi has no more power over the United States Senate than one's favorite circus animal.
That's exactly correct. And Wes, if I would come to you, after the articles were passed in the House of Representatives, they were published in the Congressional Record, so there was official action that it was taken. And then Speaker Pelosi held a press conference and proclaimed, the president is now impeached. To me, that is the end of Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 that gives the House of Representatives sole authority. Now the ball is in the court of the United States Senate, so to speak. But at the same time, I do think there's a question of whether or not the Senate should proceed, because while the House has been bogged down with impeachment, the United States Senate has continued to do the work of the American people. And quite frankly, I would ask you the political question. Is that why Democrats are now abandoning Speaker Pelosi on this?
I think so. And I think the longer she holds on to these articles, the more the credibility of what took place in the House erodes. And it has the potential to make the House, the Senate Democrats, you know, lose some credibility, too. I think the Wall Street Journal this morning pointed it out very correctly that this is a parody of impeachment. I mean, think about it, Than. In December, they had to rush through the impeachment process. They couldn't call some Republican witnesses because they said the matter was urgent and that President Trump was a clear and present danger. Now, the urgency apparently is totally gone, and there's a reason for that, and that's because it was a sham to begin with. It was a manufactured emergency to the House Democrats. And so because of that, because the process was so unfair in the House, both at the committee level and in the full House, and the vote was so strictly partisan, you can make the case that this whole process lacked credibility all along, but the longer she holds on to it, that credibility, what there is of it, even to supporters of impeachment, is eroding, and apparently it's also eroding with some of the Democrats in the Senate.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wes, and we've been pretty straightforward, very straightforward from the very beginning of this process, that the House did have wide latitude while it was in the House. I mean, we may not have thought that the way in which they conducted their investigation was fair or bipartisan or neutral or in pursuit of the facts, but the Constitution did afford the House the full authority, the sole power is the term that the Constitution uses to conduct that investigation. But once impeachment happens in the House, that sole authority shifts to the United States Senate. And Speaker Pelosi has said, well, look, I'm just trying to wait and see if the Senate is going to conduct a fair trial. Well, you know, whether they do or not is really none of Speaker Pelosi's business. Only the jurisdiction of what happens in the House is in her purview. Both Leader McConnell and Speaker Pelosi have made comments on this. Leader McConnell, of course, infamously said, I don't want the articles in the first place, so you not sending them over to me doesn't provide me, doesn't give you any leverage. But I want to play for you a little bit of sound from each of those main players, and then I'm going to go right to the phones to get your input to our question on which path forward you prefer. But let's start with Leader Mitch McConnell, the leader of the United States Senate, talking on the floor of the Senate yesterday, Byte 18.
When you take a step back, what has really happened over the last 3 weeks? When you take a step back from the political noise and the pundits discussing leverage, by the way, that never existed, what have House Democrats actually done? This, Madam President, is what they have done. They have initiated one of the most grave and most unsettling processes in our Constitution and then refused to allow a resolution of it.
Leader McConnell on the floor of the United States Senate from this morning, actually, and I think he's absolutely right. Look, it's very easy to look at this through a political lens, to look at the political impact of what is happening because it is a political process. But folks, the ramifications really are so much greater. I mean, we're going to talk later in the broadcast about the situation in Iran. The president is the commander in chief. And so if you are going to pursue articles of impeachment on flimsy grounds and then not let it come to a resolution, that can have really damaging consequences. Although I think that the events of this week have proven that the administration has stayed the course on the issues at hand and have continued governing. But let's hear the other side. Speaker Pelosi, at her press conference this morning, was pressed repeatedly about when she would send the articles over, and her comments are part of the reason why I think that this game is about up and that she is about ready to send those articles over. But let me play some sound to you from Speaker Pelosi. This is Byte 23 from this morning.
No, I'm not holding them indefinitely. I'll send them over when I'm ready. And that will probably be soon.
I'll send them over when I'm ready, and that will probably be soon. I'm going to go back to Professor Hutchison. Professor Hutchison, I imagine that's going to be soon because she knows she's losing the support of her own caucus. She has said she wanted to see this resolution about the rules that would govern the debate published by Leader McConnell, and Leader McConnell said, look, I'll publish them when I'm ready. You'll get them with everyone else. But Professor Hutchison, I'll bet when that time comes and Leader McConnell publishes that resolution because he's good and ready to, I think that might be the opportunity for the speaker to send the articles over. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think Nancy Pelosi's support from the Democratic caucus is imploding or collapsing. Initially, remember, Nancy Pelosi claimed that the articles of impeachment were urgent, that the president's behavior was an existential threat to our democracy, that the president was a threat to the 2020 election. Of course, these claims were nonsense on stilts, but those claims were used to deflect attention away from the unfairness of the process followed by House Democrats. They refused to allow Republicans to call important witnesses. But now Nancy Pelosi must confront the fact that not only is she losing support in the House of Representatives, she's losing support for her policy position with respect to the articles in the United States Senate among Democrats. And so I think she will be forced to send the articles to the Senate in all likelihood. That's number one. But number two, she will send the articles of impeachment to the United States Senate without conditions. And so, in essence, Mitch McConnell has called her bluff. And essentially, he has exposed Nancy Pelosi as an actress in a kabuki theater, but he's exposed her as a very, very poor imitation of an actress.
Couldn't agree more. I want to quickly, before this break, play some sound from Leader McConnell suggesting just that. This is Byte 24, the leader on the floor of the Senate yesterday.
There will be no haggling with the House over Senate procedure. We will not cede our authority to try this impeachment. The House Democrats' turn is over. The Senate has made its decision.
Folks, here's what I know. The Speaker of the House has a lot of power. She can control what happens in the House of Representatives. Here's what else I know. She cannot control what happens in the United States Senate, and her party does not have the majority. She can demand witnesses all she wants, but especially if they were witnesses that she refused to interview when she had control, she does not get to make that decision, and I believe the Senate has made its decision. I think this game is about up. I think it is about to move to the United States Senate. The trial is about to get underway. We'll be back after this break.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We have a bit of breaking news for you, and I promised we would get to the phone lines very early. We are going to do that. I do want to know what you think the United States Senate should do in moving forward on this, but this is very significant, folks. The airliner that was shot or that was downed during the missile attack or right around the missile attack that Iran launched into Iraq. The breaking news on Fox News right now is that a Pentagon official is saying that Iran shot down that Ukrainian airliner by mistake, and they used Russian-made surface-to-air missiles to do it. I want to go straight to Colonel Smith on this. Colonel Smith, this is a significant development, and I would ask first for your general thoughts on this breaking news. But also, give me your thoughts in relation to this war powers resolution that Speaker Pelosi has put on the floor of the House. This would strike me as the worst possible time for the Congress to try to limit the authority of the commander-in-chief to engage these type of hostilities.
Yeah, exactly. This is a real tragedy. And there were several people, myself included, whenever this airliner was downed, because it happened in the same evening whenever they were firing missiles into Iraq towards U.S. troops and Iraqi troops, that this looks so suspicious. And I noticed yesterday there was an analyst on one of the networks saying that the photographs of the plane and the shrapnel that had penetrated the engines mid-flight, and of course it spontaneously burst into flames in flight, which is not something a Boeing 737 generally does. So there was suspicion about this. I would predict that the Iranians, at least initially, will deny that this is the case. They are sort of masters of falsehoods and deceptions and defense mechanisms like that. But a real tragedy, and I think there will be more evidence to come out. The fact that the Pentagon is saying that this is what happened, they have resources, they have satellite surveillance and other things that they could really probably prove that and make the case. And so it's really sad. Concerning the war powers resolution that Speaker Pelosi is bringing before the House today, what an exercise in futility that wastes the time and money of the American voters again. Basically, this resolution, and I read through it today, it sort of reiterates, it's almost repeating the war powers resolution, what's called the War Powers Act of 1973. So it's not really new, but it's aimed at trying to attack the president. And basically, as you read through it, what it amounts to, the president has a lot of powers under his Article II powers in the Constitution, as well as the War Powers Resolution of 1973, to control the military, to decide when to carry out attacks in defense of U.S. personnel, citizens, or interest, and when not to. And basically, this resolution is saying that the president can only act as the commander-in-chief when he is granted permission to do so by the Congress. And that is so unconstitutional. It flips the Constitution on its head. But if you read through it, and I did this morning, that's basically it, that they don't trust this president to carry out his Article II power. So anytime he wants to do that, especially as it relates to being head of the military, commander in chief, he must go before Congress to ask their permission to do this. It is insane. It really is. And concerning this, Than, and the whole impeachment thing that we're discussing as well, as I watch the news and read the statements by some of the Democrat leaders, I'm amazed, Than, at how many ditches the Democrats are willing to die in. To them, everything is urgent. Everything is important. And so they end up riding off in all directions. Everything is a matter of a urgent importance if it relates to criticizing and condemning Donald Trump. You might say that the Speaker Pelosi is becoming much like the boy who cried wolf, only she's the speaker who cried wolf. But if everything is urgent, then essentially nothing is urgent. And that applies to all the things that they're using to attack the president on, including what happened in Iran and in Iraq over the last week, as well as this war powers resolution and the impeachment. Everything cannot be of that critical importance.
When it comes to the national security of the United States, there ought to be room for agreement. There ought to be really unanimous support for this. I want to bring Professor Hutchison into this. Professor, I want to get both your general reaction to this news that the Pentagon increasingly believes that Iran shot down this airliner, but also as our director of policy, I want to get your input on this war powers resolution that the House is considering. Just briefly to underline something that Wes was talking about, this resolution it outright admits that Iran is a leading state sponsor of terrorism. It outright admits that General Soleimani was a lead architect of much of the destruction of American troops. It outright admits that the United States has an inherent right to self-defense against imminent armed attacks. But then its conclusion, Harry, is that the president must terminate the use of United States armed forces to engage in hostilities in or against Iran. That strikes me as dangerously trying to have it both ways in a very perilous time. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you are absolutely correct, Van. I think the Democrats, unfortunately, have been infected by the toxin of incoherence. So it's important to provide some background. During the Obama administration, the Democrats did virtually nothing with respect to restraining his exercise of his powers. So President Obama authorized 542 drone strikes, according to the Council on Foreign Relations, that killed 3,800 people, including 324 civilians. As reported by the Council on Foreign Relations, President Obama told senior aides in 2011 that it turns out I'm really good at killing people. What did the Democrats do when President Obama exercised his Article II powers? Absolutely nothing. And so now we have a situation where President Trump essentially authorized the killing of a well-known terrorist who had the blood of 600 Americans on his hands. And so now the Democrats, they are up in arms. They are exercised, and they want to, quote-unquote, restrain this president, even if there is clear evidence that there was an imminent threat to American lives. So I think the Democrats have always tried to have it both ways, both with respect to the impeachment issue and now with respect to the president's exercise of his Article II powers. In essence, the problem with the Democrats is their failure to either read or understand the United States Constitution. And so I think the first step for House Democrats is to take some time off, perhaps this weekend, and read the United States Constitution and be governed by the text of the Constitution.
The Wall Street Journal is now reporting that Iran used two missiles to take down that airliner. And I just want to end this segment of the broadcast, and then I promise I'm getting to phone calls in the next segment. We just did have to talk about this breaking news. I want to end this segment where Harry left off. In the United States Constitution, there is a role for both the Article 1 and Article 2 branches when it comes to war. The Article 1 branch, Congress, does declare war, but the Article 2 branch, the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, conducts the strategy and carries out that war. The president was acting under an authorization for the use of military force that still exists. It was passed in 2002. If the United States Congress wants to change that, they can. It is very dangerous to try to have it both ways, though, to try to rescind the authority that the commander-in-chief has without replacing that with some sort of new authority. I agree with Harry. Democrats should go back, look at the Constitution, and carefully evaluate how they want to proceed. We'll be back after this.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Than Bennett.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by Colonel Retired Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison in our media center. Folks, we're going to get back to the issue of impeachment now. And as promised, I am going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about both impeachment and breaking news out of Iran, that Iran apparently did shoot down that Ukrainian airliner that went down a couple of nights ago. But I'm going to go right to the phones, been promising it now for a couple of segments. Let's start with Gray, who's calling in from North Carolina on line two. Gray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for filling in, Sam. You know, it's a sign of a good staff that, you know, if somebody has to take off and do some more important things, the rest of them can pick it up and carry it on the way it is. But as far as this impeachment thing, if it goes to the Senate or doesn't go to the Senate, you know, the Senate's carrying on with all their great things they're doing. You know, once it gets in there, they'll be tied up with that. You know, let Pelosi do whatever she wants to do. I think the House right now has got some very immense problems.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, Gray. I mean, I think there's very good arguments on both sides of this equation. I think the United States Senate is perfectly constitutionally permitted to take up the trial at this point if they decide to do it. And I think it depends on where you sit, which strategy you think they should use. I mean, I completely understand that the president of the United States has seen the House present their case without having an opportunity to present his side. If I were sitting in his shoes, I would probably want the United States Senate to take up that trial so that my defense team could put forward my argument. If you're in the United States Senate, or maybe even if you're the American people, I can see a position where you might want the United States Senate to continue doing the work that you sent them there to do. I specifically think about what the United States Senate has been doing while the House has been focused on impeachment. The week that the United States House passed articles of impeachment, the United States Senate, what did they do? They confirmed 13 federal judges to lifetime terms. That brought the total number of judges confirmed under President Trump's term to 185. Folks, one in every four United States Circuit Court judge was now nominated by this president. That strikes me as a very valuable thing for the United States Senate to do. So look, I think either of these positions is perfectly defensible. But I think Leader McConnell is right when he says, you don't have any leverage over me, because until you send me the articles of impeachment, I am just going to continue doing the work that the American people sent us to do. I'm going to confirm more judges that President Trump has nominated, and I am going to change the face of the federal judiciary. Gray, I think I'm inclined to agree with you, but I do think it depends on where you sit. Let's try to take one more call in this segment, since I am a couple segments behind on getting to your call. What path do you prefer when it comes to these articles of impeachment? Karen is calling from Ohio on line four. Karen, you are on the air. What do you think?
Thank you very much. I'm one of the deplorables in northwestern Ohio. Pelosi said, I'll send them over when they're ready. I thought they were urgent. Pelosi needs to send these papers of impeachment over to the Senate and get it over with, because we have other issues to worry about in this country. It's a sham and a waste of the taxpayers' time and money.
Well, it's a great point, Karen. And in fact, when Chairman Schiff announced that they were going to wrap the investigation, that they were going to take that they had taken the floor on the vote of the floor of the House, the reason he gave for not waiting for the adjudication of the witnesses that they wanted to interview to finish, the reason he gave was what you said. He said, this is so urgent, we cannot afford to wait. We've got to go with what we have now. So we're going to pass these two articles. We're going to send them to the United States Senate. Now, what does Speaker Pelosi say? What is the reason for her delay? Why is it not urgent now? Well, because some of those witnesses that the House didn't wait for, that they didn't interview, they want the Republican majority in the United States Senate to interview those witnesses. Folks, you can't have it both ways. The Constitution of the United States separates this process into two phases. The United States House did their work. Now it's time for the United States Senate to do theirs, and even Democrats in both chambers, they agree with that. We'll be back after this.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey everyone, welcome back into the broadcast. We are going to get right to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the United States Senate should do at this point? Is it time to start a trial, or should they leave the articles in the House of Representatives as long as Speaker Pelosi wants to hang on to them? Let's get your thoughts. Let's start with Susie calling on line 6 from Arizona. Susie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you most of the time because I feel like it's a true broadcast. Starting off, I think she ought to get this stuff passed on to the Senate, get this thing cleared up. I believe, you know, she'd want her people to come testify. To me, that sounds like, okay, I'll get my men in there that'll really sound, you know, firm, and she's maybe paying these people off, you know. I don't believe he's guilty. There's a lot of things that go on in our country that the president has to take control of, and I think she is just scared of herself. I think she ought to look in the mirror when she's talking because she's not truthful. She's not fooling, I think, a lot of people. And, you know, for a woman to stand there and talk about our president and talk about treason already, I think she ought to be, impeachment, I think she ought to be tried for treason. She's not helping our president. And when you talk about a president or have, you got a gun up to his head, well, that's treason. And I think she should be held for treason. She's not doing anything.
Susie, as far as accountability for the Speaker of the House, a couple of things could happen. Her voters could not send her back, or the House could censure her. I'm not sure that's necessary at this point. I want to go to Professor Hutchison on a point that you made, though, because I think this is a very valid one. Because, Harry, I really think that her refusal to send the articles over to the United States Senate does suggest a recognition on her part of how weak these two articles are. You talk about especially the obstruction of Congress article, Harry. Typically, you would see an obstruction of justice charge, but that carries with it very specific statutory hurdles that have to be cleared that they just couldn't clear. So they picked something that sounded like obstruction of justice, but is really just obstruction of Congress. But to the larger point, Harry, Susie's point that her deciding to hold on to these articles rather than send them over, to me, that suggests she knows that the articles are very weak.
I think that is correct. And I think equally true, she believes that the investigation was incomplete. And I think implicitly she's agreeing with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that this is the shoddiest impeachment effort in American history. So given the weakness of her case, given the fact that she offered an incomplete assessment, if you will, of any high crime or misdemeanor, keep in mind, for instance, they could not adduce any evidence of extortion, bribery, quid pro quo, even though they talked about it. They came up with two made-up articles of impeachment, which have no basis in the United States Constitution. So again, I suggest that the problem here is the failure of the Democrats to actually read the Constitution. But it's also important to keep in mind that this whole impeachment effort had its genesis in 2016. That is before President Trump was inaugurated. So, in essence, the Democrats were simply looking for a basis to impeach the president, in part because they thought their candidate, Hillary Clinton, was unassailable, that she would breeze through, and they could not believe that a real estate developer from New York actually beat her in the general election. So I think that essentially is the source of the irritation that has provoked the Democrats to go down this road. And this road is blocked, in my opinion, by the United States Constitution.
And to your point about completion, Harry, I mean, two things. One, it's not lost on me that the fact that the portion of these investigations that was allowed to be carried to completion, the Mueller report, that is nowhere to be found in these two articles. It's pretty ironic to me that the part of the investigation that never got or that got all the way over the line is not the one they carried forward. It was the portion of the investigation that they now say is incomplete that they are relying on for these articles. The second point on completion, I want to play a little bit of sound from you from Leader McConnell again, because he gets into this point that you raise, Harry, that the speaker should not be allowed to begin an investigation, create this cloud of confusion over the president, and then not allow it to be carried to completion. This is Leader McConnell, Byte 21.
Even as the Democrats have prolonged this game, we have seen Iran escalate tensions with our nation. We live in a dangerous world. So yes, a House majority can create this temporary cloud over a commander-in-chief if they choose, but they do not get to keep the cloud in place forever.
Well, the leader's correct. We do live in a dangerous world, and anyone who's paying attention knows that that is the case, and this is really why Jordan has impressed upon you many times that he does think it is important for the United States Senate to get to this trial, to bring resolution so that there isn't a cloud over the president, over the administration. Although, again, I think the actions of this week indicate that they have continued to carry forward and take the actions that are necessary, despite any political cost, to keep not only Americans safe, but Americans serving in a forward deployed location, in a dangerous location. This week of all weeks should be an indication that the political games on both sides of the aisle really need to stop and the people need to return to the business of the American people. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Next up is Gina calling from California on line one. Gina, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on. I am an immigrant, a legal immigrant, and I am so grateful for your program. It is very enlightening. My question to you is there anything that Nancy Pelosi is waiting for holding up this impeachment to go to the Senate, for instance, like for a U.S. Supreme Court judge to be nominated and then turn things over just to hold things up?
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting point, Gina, and I'll bring Wes into the conversation to get his thoughts on this. Probably the most common argument that maybe Speaker Pelosi is waiting for something else is that they want to see if there's any more evidence to add an article of impeachment, Wes. This is something that Congressman Al Green has suggested, that there can continue to do impeachment proceedings, that there might be additional articles down the line. I personally don't think that that's a reason, simply because sending these articles over to the United States Senate would not preclude them from opening an additional investigation on additional articles. But Wes, any thoughts on your end about other reasons that the speaker might be holding onto these articles?
It's hard to predict because, you know, Nancy Pelosi is known to be a very astute politician, and she knows how to count votes, and she knows how to sort of, you know, ascertain what the political winds are doing, which way they're blowing. But this is sort of out of character for her. It makes me wonder if either she's losing her touch as the master politician, or is she really, really continually behind the scenes to cave to the far left parts of the Democratic Party. And in that case, she's out of touch with the Americans. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you know, the House, their job is done. They accuse President Trump of attempting to be a monarch and to be a dictator that's above the law. But in a way, Nancy Pelosi is epitomizing this very thing by trying to exert control over the Senate, over which she has no control, something that she does not have the authority to do. It's like her rhetoric is outmatching, overloading her authority, you know, it seems to me. And so I think that the American people are more and more wise to this. I think her Democrat colleagues, some in the House, certainly even more in the Senate, are realizing this as well. And, you know, we talked about all this happened this week and then the impeachment and this war powers resolution. Out of all weeks, then, this should be the week that Democrats join together with Republicans in supporting President Trump's efforts not to have a war with Iran, all the while projecting in a proportional way the use of force to defend U.S. citizens and U.S. interests. But it seems to me, and this is a horrible thing to accuse someone of, but I really think with many Democrats in the party, they despise President Trump more than they value the Constitution and certainly more than they value national unity. And it sends a message to our enemies, both foreign and domestic, that we are fractured as a people. That we cannot come together, that we're so divided. I think this is true in Washington, D.C., but then I don't think that's true across the country, especially in the flyover country in America.
I agree with you, Wes, and I actually think there may be some rumblings of that felt when it comes time to cast votes in November. Let me just read to you quickly from this War Powers Resolution a couple of points. Number one, the government of Iran is a leading state sponsor of terrorism and engages in a range of destabilizing activities across the Middle East. Iranian General Qasem Soleimani was the lead architect of much of Iran's destabilizing activities throughout the world. Folks, that strikes me as a world that needs unity behind national security. Strikes me as not a world in which you would want to limit the authority of your commander-in-chief, and yet that is what the House of Representatives is trying to do this afternoon. I suspect they will not succeed in the end. To the other point that Wes made, a master vote counter from Speaker Pelosi, that has been her reputation. But don't forget, they have to vote again to send these articles to the United States Senate. The longer she waits, the more votes she's prone to lose. We'll be back after this.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to J Secular Live. We are going to get right to your calls in this segment of the broadcast. Several of you have been waiting for a while. I've got John, Eileen, Rebecca, Jim, Debbie. We are going to get to all of you. We're going to start with John calling from Minnesota on line three. John, welcome to J Secular Live. You're on the air.
Hey, you guys. You guys are great advocates. The world would be a worse place without you guys. And Heather and I are great supporters of you guys.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, so with the impeachment thing, I kind of have a hybrid view. You had mentioned at first that there might be a third view. I believe that they should, because this is all about the election to me. I see this as a Democrat ploy to try to persuade the American voters to vote Democrat. And so I think they should just stretch this out through the summer, maybe. And then at the summer, the Senate should just come in with a crushing release of this impeachment garbage. So I kind of have a hybrid view.
Sure. You think they should wait for now, but then eventually they should bring it to a close. And look, and let me just say, I don't know if you're still on the line there, John, but you mentioned that this is a political process. Impeachment shouldn't be pursued for political means. But in my view, the fact that they are not pushing it to a trial does suggest that they are trying to act politically. But John, I would just quickly throw this back to you if you're still there. If it's a political process, and if the strategy that you put out there is put forward, it's ultimately you, the American, the people that gets the final say. Is that sort of what's behind your suggestion?
Exactly. And I think it's how you view what's going to happen. I think that the Democrats actually believe, I totally disagree, that they believe that they have the votes. I totally don't believe in that. So I think they're desperate. I really do. I think they're very desperate. And so I think we should wait it out, let them keep shooting themselves in the feet, and then just come in with a crushing Senate release of this whole thing in the name of justice, because I think justice does have to be done here.
Right. Well, it is one of the beautiful parts of the American way of government is that ultimately the American people really do get the final say. And it's nowhere more true than the House of Representatives, where every single member is up every single 2 years. So every member that casts a vote on this, no matter how you view it, you are going to get a chance to go to the ballot box and register either your support or your opposition for your member of Congress. So a great call. Let's go to Eileen calling from South Carolina on line two. Eileen, welcome to J Secular Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just would love some clarification on that resolution that they want to take the powers away from the president. Will he be able to veto it, or does it even go to the Senate later, or what they vote is it? That's it?
Yeah, I'll go to Wes on this, because this has actually been a point of contention. The president would not have the opportunity to veto the resolution that they are considering. It would be a concurrent resolution, not a joint resolution, which a president would sign. I won't get into all the weeds, but Wes, there is an important point to make here behind the call, because if the Congress wanted to either debate whether or not to declare war, or if they wanted to debate whether or not they wanted to pass a new authorization for the use of military force, Wes, that would be permitted under Article 1 of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That is not what they're doing today.
No, they're really not. This new war powers resolution that's being proposed is pointless. It's not likely to pass the Senate, of course. Even if it were to pass the Senate, it is 100% the president would veto it, and they don't have the votes to override it. It violates Article 2 of the Constitution, and as I said earlier, it actually violates part of the War Powers Resolution of 1973, which is statutory law. And in addition to that, you look through all the presidents, and in my memory from the 1970s when I was a high school student, and that is all presidents have routinely ignored the original War Powers resolution, and while it's never been adjudicated, there is a contention out there that the act itself is unconstitutional, that you cannot do this. You cannot tie the hands of the commander in chief in this way. So this whole thing is pointless. The House, as they are wont to do, are wasting a lot of time and energy passing resolutions that they know have no chance of passing in the Senate or being signed by the president.
Fully agree with that. Right back to the phones we go. Rebecca is calling from North Carolina on line four. Rebecca, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm like you, I'm kind of caught between the two things as far as the articles of impeachment being carried over. I just see this. I agree with Harry on the things he said about this started way back at the election in 16. I mean, they had no idea and really did not believe Trump would win and have not given him credit for any good thing that he's done. And they've just hopped from one thing to the other and have ultimately brought themselves to this impeachment. I don't know. It's a comedy of errors almost. But
yeah, well, here's the good news, Rebecca. Didn't mean to cut you off. Just got a couple of calls to get through. Harry, just quickly, her point about the Constitution, this really is the important one to me because the Constitution was clear about which chamber controls which part of this process, and making sure that both chambers adhere to that is a very important part of this.
I think that's absolutely correct. But it's also important to note that many Democrats believe in what might be called a living, evolving Constitution. And hence, they don't believe that their conduct is bound by the text of the Constitution. That is a huge problem. In addition to which, many Democrats have offered a number of proposals for changing, for instance, how we elect the President of the United States, even though that is governed by the Constitution. And they have talked about packing both the United States Supreme Court and the judiciary generally. Why? Why do they want to do this? They want to nominate and confirm judges who do not feel that they are bound by the text of the Constitution. So I think the caller is onto something.
Absolutely. I got to take the final two calls in 2 minutes. I'll take them both and then give comments. Let's go first to Jim from Georgia on line five. Jim, quickly, please. You're on the air.
Yeah, quickly. We need to take back the House. The Republicans are galvanized. Now's the time to do it. Take back the House in 2020, and I'm running for Congress to retire Senior Rep Hank Johnson on the House Judiciary Committee. I've had
enough. So Jim from Georgia is trying to be part of taking back the House. I'll give some comments on that, the political thoughts, in just a minute. Let's go quickly to Debbie from New York on line six. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for all you do. My question is, are the Democrats violating the President's Bill of Rights, where he is guaranteed a speedy trial?
So this is a little bit different. Impeachment is specifically set out in the United States Constitution. It does not have to go to trial if the House does not impeach, but once it does, it is the Senate's duty to try. So it's a little bit different than a criminal procedure. However, I do think your comments color why you see the president angling for the Senate to have a trial, and I completely understand it. If I were in his shoes and the House of Representatives had had the proceedings that they just had, where the members of the minority were not allowed to call witnesses, I absolutely would want the Senate to have a trial where I could make my defense. I completely get that. To the previous caller's question about the House of Representatives, look, 31 Democrats representing districts that were won by Donald Trump, and 8 of them are in districts that he dominated by 10% or more. So is the United States House in play? I think before all of this, most analysts would have told you it's likely not. After all that we've seen over the last few months, from Mueller to the impeachment inquiry, I think it very well could be, and it could be because of this. We're just going to have to wait and see. But ultimately, the American people are going to have the final say. Well, folks, thanks for putting up with us here. You'll have Jay and Jordan back with you soon. They're doing important work. But if you want to get updates on any of the work of the ACLJ, there's a lot more going on that we can't get to on air. You can find all of those updates online at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.